Blog Talk Radio. evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Ministry Encounter here on God Sedekin Radio. For those listening for the very first time, what is God Sedekin Radio? We are an anointed, edifying, uplifting, and intimate online radio ministry, streaming live various days during the week where God's glory is our agenda. Redefined, restored, and renewed God Sedekin Radio, the comeback. Who is your hostess with the mostest? I am Lady Nancy here giving you the very best in radio ministry. What happens on God Sedekin Radio? We embrace the testimonies and accomplishments of every overcomer in the body of Christ in whatever area of ministry they are in. God Sedekin Radio are opportunists that give opportunity. You're welcome to call in with comments, questions, prayer, and to some to receive salvation if you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins. While live, the call-in number is area code 646-716-6608. Press 1 for the host queue. Our theme in Scripture, Galatians 6 and 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm so pleased and honored today. We are here with an awesome young man who I'll be queuing in just a few moments. God Sedekin Radio welcomes Brian T. Long. He is a motivational speaker, author, life coach. He grew up in New York City, then relocated down south as a teen. He has overcome a lifelong of journeys and trials just like we have, now preaching the gospel and mentoring others in the system. He caters to the aftermath of coming out of prison. He's the author of Set Free, Making a Difference, 2009, At the Table, a daily devotional book in 2015. His bio is very extensive, and he can tell it better than I can. I am excited to speak with this young man as he gives us a glimpse of the ministry within the walls, after the walls. I'm elated because this is new for us, and we want to endeavor to touch every area in order to set the captive free. So my guest on today, God bless you, man of God. On the air.
Amen. Grace and peace. How are you?
I'm wonderful. God bless you. The floor is open for you to give your hellos, your God bless yous, and however you want to introduce yourself to us on today.
I truly just thank God for this opportunity to be on the air and to spread the gospel and also to share how God has been great to me and changed my life. I just wanted to just thank God just for this opportunity, and I hope that this moment, this session, will be a blessing to someone who is listening.
Amen.
On the radio.
Absolutely. Well, be yourself. Loosen up, sit back, relax. This is a free-for-all, just comfortable. We shoot straight from the hip, and just share with us a little bit about yourself.
I like that. First of all, I'm from New York City, grew up in the Bronx, and I always tell people that, you know, I was a preacher's kid, but even though I was a preacher's kid, my mother was in the church real heavy, but I never had a father figure, and, I always kind of felt like I was cheated out of life, even though my father was around, but he wasn't around. And I used to blame him for a lot of things. And because of that, it resulted in a lot of things to where I didn't believe in God. I didn't care for God. And, you know, I believe that the things that we mimicked in church was just something that people were rehearsing and never had an encounter with God at a young age. And so that led me down a path to where I ended up following the gang lifestyle in New York City. And when I was 15 years old, my mother said, you know, let's move to North Carolina. And in her mind, she was believing that it was God's move. And in my mind, I was believing that this was an opportunity for me to set up shop for my gang to grow. And as I came up here, I always tell people I had a Clark Kent Superman syndrome. I was one way in front of my mother and another way in front of my friends. So I lived two lifestyles, and it finally caught up with me at the age of 17 years old. I was facing 5 counts of armed robbery, sitting in a jail cell, And I remember being challenged to believe in God, to believe in something beyond myself. And I asked God to come into my life, and I asked him, I said, if you're real, give me a second chance. And everything that you promised me, that you prophesied over my life when I was a little kid, if it's real, give me a second chance. Because I was facing 35 years at 17 years old. 35 years. It was no way, if, ands, buts about it. 35 years or take the 10-year plea. And we took the plea for 10 years, and I just said, God, I need something to happen. And for 6 months, I dedicated my life to preaching the gospel in the jail cell, singing songs that I didn't even know that was in me, that I had heard when I was growing up. And I realized I had the gift of singing and the gift of ministering to people who were hurting. And I remember when I went to court, the judge looked at me and looked at my crime partners, and he said, out of all the court cases I've had, I've never had a court case like this. He said, I want to give y'all a second chance. I can't send you home, but I want to give you a second chance. And I said, God, if I get time, give me 3 years to 9 months.
Wow.
Now, according to the system, that's impossible. For one count of armed robbery, you're supposed to get 5 to 7 years. I had 5 counts. They had the guns, the masks, they had the, what they call on the street, the snitches, they had it all. But God gave me grace, and I told him, I said, for the rest of my life, I would help preach the gospel if you gave me the second chance. And that's what I've been doing. You know, I went to prison and served my time at a young age and got out. And I always tell people I gave up on God because things didn't go the way I wanted to go. I blame the church, and the church blamed me, and I was church hurt, and I got frustrated, and I gave up on God. I strayed away until God sent someone to remind me, a pastor. He was a bishop, and he just helped me to understand that God didn't see no colors. God didn't see my issues. He saw my heart, and he wanted to love the hell out of me, the hell that was in me, out of me. And so he showed me the true love of God. There was no judgment as I was going through my process. He didn't make excuses for my sin, but he made excuses for my love that God had for me. And he taught me how to love me and how to love others and to be, look beyond their flaws as God did. And looking beyond people's flaws helped people become saved. People realize that the more and more that you love them, the more and more they see God's love, the more and more they don't want to fail God. And that's
Amen.
The principle that I use throughout my life. And here I am now. I went back to school, and as you was reading, wrote 2 books and working on another book. And I've traveled all over the different states just preaching the gospel and speaking before thousands of people. In the last 11 years, I've spoken to over 40,000 people, and so many souls have came to Christ just by hearing my testimony and how God has blessed me. And I, as time went off, I've received my PhD in May, and I'm just thankful to be here and continue to just spread the gospel the best way I know how.
Amen. Get that PhD. Yes. Well, I recently, I know you were talking to me, we had to postpone a couple of times, but now that you're here, a new edition has arrived. So
yes.
Do share about your beautiful little
yes.
ones.
I always believe that there's always that child that you always say, oh, Lord. He was that, oh, Lord, when is this supposed to happen? But he's a blessing. His name is Christopher Justice, and he was born last Monday. And he has been a blessing to my spirit, to my heart. I fell in love with him. You know, I have, this is my third child, and And I just thank God for him. You know, he just keeps, my kids keep me pushing the gospel. My kids keep me pushing to win souls because I know that if I impart and carry the legacy, then continue to win souls.
Amen. Tell us about the support, your support system in the ministry that you attend.
My support system is it's a diverse of people throughout the state of the different states. They keep me grounded. My spiritual father, Apostle Jenkins, he keeps me grounded, as well as I call him my dad, Apostle Lyons. I try to keep men and women, especially men, surrounded around me. My father has came back into my life since I've gotten out of prison. He's in the church heavy, ministering, preaching the gospel. And God has restored our relationship and our bond has gotten stronger. So I try to surround myself around men, especially the who have been through struggles that can uplift me. Because a lot of times as believers, I'm not necessarily going to say Christian, but believers, as believers, we go through. I don't care what level of ministry you're in, you go through. You need people that are strong, people who will not look at your situation, but will look at a solution to help you through your situation. So I thank God for that I have in my corner, of course, my mother, and, you know, just my family in general, just my great support system. I oversee several ministries. I have a ministry called Transformation Ministries International, and we travel throughout the different states. We have a ministry in Georgia and several throughout North Carolina, and we just do different types of ministries where we're just giving back and we're helping people understand that God loves them.
Amen. I have to say I am definitely impressed with all the things that you have been able to accomplish after that ordeal. And have you ever asked yourself, have you ever imagined yourself being where you are right now after all of that and the things that you have been through and after coming out of prison and so on and so forth and then mentoring those who come out of prison as well?
I will say yes and no. The reason why I say yes and no is I always start a thing and didn't finish. And so starting something and I didn't get the results immediately, I gave up. Or I was told I couldn't do it. And so because I was told I couldn't do it by people that I looked up to, I wouldn't do it. And so that's the part of the no where, you know, I was unsure whether it was possible. The yes, I was always told from people who never knew me. When my mother used to travel and evangelize and preach the gospel, people, strangers would say, "You're the Joshua to the nation." And I would look at them and say, "I don't know who Joshua is." But you're the Joshua to the, and they would say it the same thing. And I'm like, okay, everybody's saying, who's telling them this? That y'all giving them a script or something to tell them, call me Joshua to the nation. I'm the Joshua to the nation. I'm like, okay. So I was like, okay, I'm the Joshua to the nation. And I still haven't arrived to the place that God promised. So, you know, the things that he told me was to write the vision upon the table, make it plain. So, you know, I knew that it was possible by the things that happened in that courtroom, that all I had to do was believe it and speak it. It may take time. I might get frustrated. And like I tell my clients, it takes blood, sweat, and tears. You know, I might sweat a lot. I might cry a lot. I might scrape my ankles, my knees, my elbows. But at the end of the day, I'm going to reach the prize that God has called, that promise for me to receive. It's up to
Amen.
It's up to anyone.
Absolutely. Well, I, I like this. I like the fact that you have touched on a basis that, you know, not many do, but there are, I mean, there are ministries out there that I'm even aware of, you know, that mentor to the those who are incarcerated, because I think our mindset has, some of us, not everybody, but I think there's people out there who believe when people go to prison that they're lost causes. There's a mindset that once you've done this so-called abominable thing, have you ever experienced or ran into people where you've had to encourage them to go back to their loved ones that were in prison?
Oh, yes. And not only that, you know, I do a thing called perception. And a lot of times when people see me, you would look at, and your first perception would be, this is a young dude who went to college, got educated, and I hear so many different perceptions. But they never, ever think that I had a criminal record, that I was in a gang that is worldwide. You know, they never think about all those things. So when I break that down to them, I help them understand that the reason why you're able to see who I am now is because some people who God ordained for my life, they didn't see me as a lost cause. They looked beyond my flaws. They loved me, and that's why you don't see the past. You see who I am and who I'm becoming. And so, you know, I have had those opportunities to help people, to encourage people, and to really break some barriers to where people, employers or individuals may make judgment and say, you know, I just feel like people should stay under the prison cell and never get out. And I help them understand, well, what if that was your child? Anything can happen. It's anything's possible. And we just have to really be mindful that, you know, we're aware that we're still human beings who've made mistakes. It may have not been to the degree that I have, but at the end of the day, you've made a mistake and would have got to.
Right. Absolutely. That's just nuggets right there. I definitely appreciate you for sharing with us, and I hope you feel comfortable and you're enjoying yourself, because that's our goal here on God for the King Radio as well, to make sure that the people that we talk are feeling awesome and that you're able to just elaborate as much as you can.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Tell us about your book. Your books came into fruition, Set Free, Making a Difference, in 2009, and At the Table, a daily devotional book.
Well, Set Free and Making a Difference is a book, it's one book, it's two books in one, and that was my very first book that I started working on when I was incarcerated. And the vision with that was really to see if I could do it. You know, a lot of times we don't know whether we can do something until we try it. And I, you know, wrote the book, and it was a mix of my testimony as well as a mix of things that were laid upon my heart for the people of God. And when I first wrote that one, I didn't go through the necessarily channels like I did for this, for the next book. So when the book company, publishing company closed down online, I still do have the hard copies, but, you know, it was a blessing. It spread it out through the different places, and a lot of people loved it. But this next book, At the Table, is a daily devotion. I didn't put any days on it on purpose, because I want people to be able to open the book and just read. Whatever you're feeling in your spirit, you can just open up the book like you do the Bible, and whatever it opens to, it will be just for you. Because, you know, God has given me over a period of 2 years messages that I would send out to Afghanistan and just different places to people all over the world who were saying that, you know, my text messages, my devotions were blessing them and keeping them focused and lifting their days. And so I was just like, okay, the Holy Spirit said, well, now let's make it a book. Let's make it At the Table, to where they're coming, they're feasting, they're having the opportunity to be able to ponder on words that will be encouraging, that won't take up a lot of time, but there'll be something that's quick that they can read before they start their day out or before they end their day, something that will be an uplifting to their spirit. And At the Table was published last year.
Amen. Congratulations. Definitely making a difference. I want to open up the lines to people who may want to call in because we do have that capability. If you're on the line or you want to speak to us, please press 1 if you're already in queue. For those listening and not sure what you want to say or talk about or just have a comment or just want to talk to us in general, our call-in number is 646-716-6608. Just press 1. It puts you in the host queue with myself and our guest on today, who is Brian Ting Long. He is an awesome young man, and we are enjoying him so far. All right. I'm queuing in this person because I know who this is. So before I put him on the line, this is an awesome man that has – we were friends some years ago, and we fell off. He got sick. He came back onto the scene. Alvin Romer is from Miami, Florida. He's a book reviewer. He is into a lot of reading, avid reader. He has the Roma Review. He's also done radio and syndication and stuff like that. And he's actually chiming in with us today just for a little bit to see what it feels like being back on the air and also to chat with us. And Alvin, you're on the line.
Thank you, Nancy. How are you doing? And I do apologize for being late.
No, it's okay. Not a problem.
Okay. But let me,
our guest today is Brian T. Long. He's a motivational speaker, author, and life coach. He ministers to those for himself coming out of prison, those who have come out of prison, and the transition of being free and set free from the system. So he's here with us on today.
Very good. I heard portions of his diatribe, what he was saying. You know, coming out of an incarcerated situation is not an easy venture. It's about transitioning. And whenever someone comes out of that diaspora, I like to think that they already have something to share with the world. And, Brian, I commend you for stepping up your game and doing what the Lord has envisioned you to do.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, I think it's important that you mentioned At the Table. It's important that someone brings something to the table. You know, a title like that, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, you know, At the Table, who, what, when, where, why? Who's coming to the table? Why are they coming to the table? When they're coming to the table? What are they going to bring when they get to the table? So, you know, it's going to pique the reading public's interest. They want to know what this book is going to be about. So I'm quite sure in your transitional state, as you progress, you bring something to the fore. And I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
Amen. Tell us what you have in thought for the future, because I know with everything that you've just recently accomplished, your PhD and so on, what do you plan on doing next?
Well, what I plan on doing next is I'm working on a reality TV show in California. I've been working on that for 2 years with helping former offenders get their life back together, where you'll actually see it unfold. And also, I'm working on the next book. I haven't gotten a title yet, but I've started on it, where this will actually be a autobiography of myself, as well as I'm just continuing to just expand ministry and do things that God has for me to do. I want to be able to mentor leaders to become better leaders and to serve and to do outreach versus inreach, staying in the church, because I know it's time out for that, just staying in the church. I've pastored for so many years, and I've learned that, you know, just staying stuck behind the walls brings me back to what Jesus said, you know, this is for the sick. You know, while we're still preaching to those that are claiming that they're not sick, you know, we're supposed to be going for those that are lost, not those that are found.
No. You know, Brian, that's a very, very interesting point you bring up, because personally, I feel that the best work one can do is outside the walls of the church. And it's all about being a leader and expanding your territory, using evangelical tendencies to make sure you lead someone to Christ. And relative to the book that you subsequently have coming out, I'll be willing to help you in any stage that you're going through. But I must add that if you're going to think of a title, make sure that title is expressive of what you want to convey in that book. Because titles are supposed to have a hook, it's supposed to have definition, it's supposed to be where it draws people to your book. So with that said, I would love to work with you and give you some tips and advice. I've been in the literary industry for 3 years, and working for some of the major publishing houses, I've learned my craft, and I learned the business of writing. You know, writing is much more than just words. So once you put everything together, people will see where you're coming from.
Thank you.
Amen. This is awesome. I appreciate everything that you're getting ready to just walk into. It's just so needed. You know, our young men, as you know, the media is shining a light on so much that's going forth. And we definitely need those, like the people was telling you, that Joshua out there to, you know, bring the people and bring the masses. And what is your major highlight of a lot of the things that you've already accomplished?
I wouldn't say there's one particular one, but the ones that, the highlight for me would be is that I set on several occasions just hearing people say, thank you, Mr. Long. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for planting a seed in my life, that helping me to get where I am. Through that, I've gotten opportunities where I've received an award from the governor for my, you know, my ability to help people. As well as, you know, last year I received an award from the UNC Greensboro for just devoting time to helping. So my greatest thing is just being able to help and seeing the benefits of people changing for my own self.
Amen. That's beautiful. Setbacks. I want to talk about setbacks because I know for me, you know, I've encountered a few things while being on the air since 2011. I've been up, down, in, out, and I've had different things happen. Has there been any setbacks that have caused you to feel like you didn't want to do what you do anymore?
Now we're really rolling up the sleeves. And see, I've always, even with my leaders that I serve alongside, I always tell people, you know, transparency sometimes is the greatest thing to helping people to move forward. And, you know, I've battled with depression for years. And that was something that, you know, people don't understand how serious it is with our leaders. That's why you've seen a lot of leaders kill themselves, or they wonder why they took drugs and overdosed. And they're like, what happened? They were just happy. They was preaching. But people don't know what happened behind the scenes. People don't know the struggle they went through. And I said, for years I dealt with depression, and it took having, you know, people, men who were encouraging to let me know that, okay, you're depressed. What are we going to do now? You know, and, you know, even when that them setbacks try to come back, it's just knowing how to address it and not stay stuck in depression. Because a lot of times people want to pray about it. Oh, let's pray about it. The blood of Jesus, we need to come against it. But really, that's a mental health issue. And I have, you know, it's bad when you have a degree in that area as well. But it's a mental health issue because, you know, these are a lot of things that some of our people are dealing with things that they, you know, went through their life, and people don't understand, you know, how they get where they've gotten, but there's been a struggle. There's been pain, and there has been a lot of letdown. And so what I try to do is I always tell people sometimes I minister from my pain, because as I minister from my pain, then I'm getting deliverance as I'm helping someone else get delivered.
Amen, amen. Alvin, you have any questions for him?
Well, I have a comment to make. You know, depression is very real. A lot of us people of color, especially men, and I'm not belittling women, but men go through the angst of having to come up and be accountable. A lot of times we fail at that. When you talk about setbacks, you're talking about trying to transition to a situation where you can be, you can overcome the tragedy so you can be viable again. And a lot of times we don't do a good job of coming up with a wellness recovery action plan. You have to understand the triggers. What triggered that depressed mode? What triggered you to be in that state of being? The key is going from mediocre to magnificent, from corrupted to corrected, to make sure that, hey, I can be viable again. I'm a man. I can be that kingdom man that God has envisioned me to be. I want to be accountable to my familial order, my family, myself, my community. I want to love my woman better. I want to be able to step up and say, hey, I'm here. Look at me. So, you know, whenever you transition from a setback to a, you know, from triumph to a situation where, from tragedy to triumph, rather, you're in a position now to, you're in the driver's seat. You can dictate what you want to, but the confidence level has to be there.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
So I commend you, Brian, for what you are doing and what you plan to do, but the stick-it-to-ness is very important. You know, as I told Nancy just recently, the best direction you can ever go is to go straight, turn right, and look up. And while you got your head to this, make sure you acknowledge he that has strengthened you to get to where you are now.
That's right. That's right.
Amen, amen. Who have been your mentor, the people who have mentored you through this process? Where have you found your inspiration, whether it be through a book or, you know, people that you've heard of, or just physical people that you surround yourself with?
I would say it would be a mix. Apostle Jenkins, like I mentioned earlier, he has been a mentor to me. Apostle Lyons, Bishop York, and Bishop T.D. Jakes. You know, a lot of things that, even though I don't know Bishop T.D. Jakes, a lot of things that, you know, in his messages, those are things that are encouraging and reminders that, you know, who I am and what I need to be doing and to stay focused on the task ahead. You know, so, you know, those individuals have made a major impact on my life throughout the year, and that's who I would say are my mentors.
Amen, amen. Tell us a little bit about what you do for fun when you're not writing, when you're not, you know, you're not traveling. Do you have time to have fun?
Everybody,
because I look at your bio. Your bio is.
I'm still working on another doctorate degree. I'll be done next year, hopefully. My mother, she just be like, Lord Jesus, you just like, I mean, when are you going to stop? I'm like, Ma, I'm working towards the dream. And, you know, sometimes you have to continue to work, but there's always a balance. And, you know, I did a staff session with leaders, and I called one of my acronyms called Staff It. And you can't have all, you know, work and no fun. So my fun is, you know, coaching football and coaching basketball for my son, and playing games and basketball with my kids, and, you know, having fun with my daughter and letting her know that she's a princess. So I say most of my fun time comes with the kids and just, you know, seeing them enjoy themselves as well as, you know, conditioning them for life. So that's where my fun comes in, and just coaching, mainly coaching.
Amen, amen. There's so many, books out there. What do you believe that people, there's no endless learning. There's no endless, you know, getting to know important things. Tell us what your books have to offer to those who would pick them up and read them. I know you mentioned At the Table already, but talk to us a little bit about the first book and what you wanted to get out of it? Did you get what you thought you were supposed to get out of it? Do you want to revamp it? Talk to us a little bit about that.
With the first book, I believe that I got what I wanted to get out of it at the time, but as I've transitioned throughout life, I felt as if that I need to revamp it, and that's what's going to be the next book, to where it's going to be more in-depth things to address issues such as depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, such as loneliness or, you know, failed relationships. Just talking about real things that believers and unbelievers go through, and helping them to understand how to get through it. Because I think that a lot of times we, there's a saying that that we say as believers is, I'm blessed and highly favored. And I always tell my leaders, don't tell me that. You're blessed and highly favored, but yet you were complaining or crying. Something was wrong. So if you can't say that you're blessed and highly favored if you've just been the same, you know, I'm just, you know, frustrated or whatever. So a lot of times we mimic what we've heard and we think that that's the right thing to say. I'm blessed and highly favored. But really, in reality, we're going through. So this next book, what I want to do is be able to help people to not complain, but to address the issues by understanding that it is all right to have these things that you're dealing with, but now let's find solutions. Let's find a way to overcome it. Let's find a way to find people to talk to trust, because like he was talking about men, we as men, we have a hard time trusting and being not only men, but young men, and helping them to understand that when you find those people that you can trust, it's a whole new world, and you can become anything that you want to become if you just allow yourself to be connected to the right people who can pour into you. The book will be for everyone, but specifically I think that some of the things that I've been through will be able to be beneficial to some of the men that are in bondage mentally and spiritually and physically.
Amen, amen. In soon closing, let us know how the people can get in contact with you, because I know you do engagements and things like that, and you're on Facebook and so on. So share the connections with the people.
Okay, you can. In one way that you can reach out to me is through my website. It's Brian, B-R-I-A-N, T as in Tom, Long, L-O-N-G, .com, BrianTLong.com, or you can call my cell phone number, and I will get you to my manager, 704-880-6124, 704-880-6124. So you can either reach me via cell phone or through my website, and just let me know. I'll be glad to serve you, help in any way that I can, and be there for you.
Amen. I'm so glad that we had an opportunity to chat and talk, and I know we have been off and on chatting for the last month or so, and we've had to postpone a few times, but it has been a pleasure speaking with you on today and you sharing some very, very important things out there amongst men and black men in general and in the kingdom of God. It's just been a privilege and an honor to talk with you on today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. Alvin, you have any comments or questions before he gets off the line?
Well, the only thing I want to say is, you know, he mentioned the cliches that people use, blessed and highly favored, but there comes a flavoring with that favor. If you're not flavored to do what you need to do, then it just becomes a cliche and it's not anything viable. We as men, black men, we have to stand up for accountability. We're much maligned in life. And if you can come up with books, Brian, that's going to help the black man be more to himself, family, community, that's commendable for you. So I'd like to tell you to just keep the faith, do what you do, and continue doing the things that mean the most to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Amen. thank you. Thank you for your humility and just transparency and sharing with us. Again, I got to tell you, but when you were talking about perception, I didn't know any of that either until I got the bio. So my thought process from when we first met was just about how you appeared when I saw your picture on Facebook and looking at you and what you do. Never in a million years thought you had a criminal record. And I was like, really? I mean, he don't look, you know. So that was something that I did as well. But then I learned about that when I was going to school about our perceiving self, you know, our presenting self and our perceiving self. And I was like, oh, wow, see, that's what I get for assuming. But then
you know, if a person is incarcerated and they can't grow while they're in there, it's going to be a stifling process when they get out because there's no thought patterns to go along with it. So with him being there, I'm quite sure he had the time to meditate on what he wanted to do, and the Lord took his hand from there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And before you go, Brian, just share with us again the scenario, not the actual, you know, act of what happened, but in the beginning he shared with us about the impossibility of even how he got the second chance, because somebody could be just tuning in and, you know, not understanding what we're talking about, but the favor of God that he gave you while you were incarcerated.
Well, a quick scenario would be that I didn't believe in God. I was raised in a Christian home to believe God, but I didn't believe in God because I believed that the things that was happening in my life wasn't something that a real God would allow me to go through. And so because I didn't believe in God, I ended up in jail facing 35 years for 5 counts of armed robbery, gangbanging in New York City. And given the opportunity to ask God, you know, to come into my life, by being challenged by a minister, gave me an opportunity to get 3 years and 9 months in a situation that was impossible. Even now, I work with the court system. That's something I didn't mention. But I work for the government myself now. I was the first felon they hired. But even now, working with the government and working in the court system, I realized that it was definitely impossible because it's from one count of armed robbery, 5 to 7 years. I had 5, and I only got 3 years and 9 months. So God did what was called impossible and made it possible because I believed and I trusted him. Even when things looked bad, for 6 months I fasted. I fasted for 6 months, and I said, God, you got to do something, and he made a way.
Amen, amen.
A real Jesus version, that's good.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Just give some thoughts of hope to someone out there that could be listening and can tune into this, and final words.
My final words would be, believe until you become. A lot of times we hear fake it till you make it. But God told me, instead of faking it, because when you fake it till you make it, you surround yourself around fake people. Who's faking it till they make it. But as long as you're believing till you become, you're believing and trusting God that everything will happen. So you're surrounding yourself around people who are believing God till it becomes into fruition. So I would encourage you that regardless of how things may seem or how hard things may get, believe until you become what God has promised you to become. And if you don't know what it is that God has promised you to become, I challenge you to spend some quiet time and pray and ask God to show you himself, reveal himself. He did it for me. He did it for Paul. He can do it for you.
Amen. Thank you, Brian, for being here. Definitely a blessing, and great, great opportunity to chat with you. And we'll be in touch, definitely. You're welcome. All right, listening audience, we have had another encounter here on God's Connection Radio. But before we go and really get off the air, I always, always want this opportunity to be open. God's Connection Radio is all about Jesus. We are Jesus' agenda. And for those out there who don't know Christ, have heard an awesome testimony of a young man who has shared his testimony. It could be incarceration. It could be drugs. It could be anything. Anything that has caused you to be bound and oppressed. We want you to know that there is a God out there. There is a Christ, the Son of God, who and a mediator who is the Holy Spirit. We know that there's people out there who are against God, who don't believe in God, who don't think there's a God, but the very moment that you get up in the morning and take a deep breath, that's God. Because our minds can't fathom and wrap around the technology or the scientific moments that people think that they have to even believe that they can do what God does. So for those who don't know Christ and the pardon of your sins, we also want you to have an opportunity to confess and call him your Lord on today. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And just a quick reminder that in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So we want you to know that Christ is real. We want your hearts to be changed. We want everything in your life to just be just manifested in God. We want you to just come out of the chains and the bondage of your mind and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. We want you to seek God like never before and know that he's real in this hour. We just appreciate everyone who's had the opportunity to be here with us again on God's Connection Radio. We will be back. Thank you, Alvin, for tuning in with us for a little bit and sharing the opportunity to be here on God's Connection Radio. It is much appreciated.
Well, thank you for having me, Nancy.
You're welcome. So we will be back, not this week, only because I forgot we have an awesome ministry event going on for the rest of the week, and I'll be swamped in ministry out of the place of my designated area of doing radio, just doing what we do best, and that is serving and praising God. We'll be back the week after. We have some awesome people coming that have just given me their yeses, and we're setting some dates. Look out for us various days during the week, typically Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. The website is functional, but I didn't announce it, but once I get it back updated, I'll share some information with you, and we appreciate you. And as always, we get out of here with something that is just phenomenal, and we want you to be encouraged. Know that God loves you, and so do we. Please give us a call when we are live, and just hit me up on Facebook because I'm on there under Nancy, Hostess with the Mostest, and we'd love to hear from you. God's Connection Radio appreciates our listening audience because you guys have been listening while I was off the air, and I appreciate you so much for that. So we're getting out of here, and know that we have to have confidence in him. God bless you all, and have a great evening.
Somebody just say, I got confidence. I got so much faith in you, Lord, I trust your word is true. No matter the circumstance, my life is in your hand. I got confidence, so much confidence in you. Your love has been so good to me. It's so unfailing. My heart is in your hand. You hold the master plan. And I've got confidence, so much confidence. Yeah.
on this one.
The only thing you need to do is when you get to the door, step into the joy of the Lord.